Blog Talk Radio.
Basketball in Michigan, the Last Second Shot podcast. We here.
Hey, nah. We in this thing, new music.
Hey, something they can OG shuffle too. You know what I'm saying? Little OG shuffling music. Man, salute, man. We back. We back here live, man. Just another. This is our 15th episode. They still ain't got us out of here, man. What DJ Khaled say?
Hey, play it. What you say? I don't know what he said.
Another one.
Okay. Oh yeah, he did say that before. Okay.
Man, we here live again. Let's just jump right back into it. Down goes Frazier. Man, I had to say it twice on this past Saturday. Two big, I wouldn't call them upsets. Everybody knew what was possible on Saturday. Detroit Country Day coming out victorious against the Southfield Lakers Senior High School. Arbor Prep with the last second shot. Ugh. That just was, so I don't know what's happening with the sound effects. The bombs were supposed to go off, and, on Blog Talk Radio, they're going to probably go off 10 seconds later. But yeah, man, Lauren Carroll at the buzzer hits a deep three. No conscience, just bombs away. And salute to her.
Yeah, at least I had good timing.
But, salute to her, you know what I'm saying? I saw the video. I wasn't at the Bay City John Glenn Arbor Prep game. But, salute to Arbor Prep Athletics for the video on Twitter, showing us just how Ms. Carroll stepped up and hit that late game shot. What a way to make a statement. I wouldn't say Arbor Prep is putting anybody on notice, because I think anybody who's respectable in the state had Arbor Prep as their number one team in the state in Class C.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't, you know, like you said, it wasn't really a statement. I think that, you know, I think they were everybody's consensus favorite, you know, going into the season. So they just gave you another reason why they, you know, that people have them as the favorite, you know, by winning that game over who, you know, we said on a previous show and basically John Glenn that they were the best team in the state. So to beat who we had as the best team in the state, you know, just gave everybody else another reason to say, hey, this is Class C's team right here. This is the team that represents Class C.
Definitely. And it's just, listen, man, like, Arbor Prep ran off on the plug twice. Like, they really just, yeah, put the team on their back. So, man, I'm really hating that my sound effect's not working right now. It's so annoying. I really had that
show
one playing
on,
out.
You know?
The show must go on.
Ran off on the floor twice.
Thank you for that rendition, Plies. but yeah, man. This kind of adds a new perspective into not much perspective into how I'm predicting things to go in the postseason or any Breslin appearances, which, ooh, that's coming. Is that 2 weeks from now or a week from now?
Two weeks
from now, we'll go in depth into all of our Breslin crystal balls or whatever you would call it. But I wouldn't say that the Bay City John Glenn loss has any bearing going on where I think they'll end up at the Breslin or in the postseason. But I do think that it, for Arbor Prep, you know, it adds a new perspective in seeing that, you know, a middle of the tournament exit isn't something that they're prepared for this year. That's not how they're built. I mean, not saying that that's how they were built last year, but obviously they look more vulnerable last year. You could see some teams attacking them and making close games or even you could see teams, you know, game planning for them. You know, with the way that I've seen Arbor Prep play this year, even the games, some of the games that I've seen them play in, they actually had to fight. They had to fight really hard, just like obviously they had to do on Saturday. They're ready, you know, like I feel like they're ready for or primed to make a quarterfinal, maybe a Breslin appearance. You got to tune in to our preview show to really find out where, you know what I'm saying, I ultimately think they'll end up at. But, you know, they're primed. They're approaching tournament mode.
Yeah, they are approaching tournament mode. And the great thing about it is that, you know, they have sort of a dream, you know, a dream week almost in a sense. Remember how the New York Knicks, you know, every year they had a week, like it would be three or four games in a row where they'll play the best teams and the best, you know, and the best players, whether it be, it'll be LeBron one day, you know, Durant the next day, Kobe the day after that, and, you know, so on and so forth, right? Well, you know, well, this is kind of like that dream week for them, you know, obviously Saturday getting the win over Bay City John Glenn, you know, who was, you know, just running through teams, and, you know, they got the win yesterday over Marion by 22, last year's state champion for Class A. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this Friday they play Country Day at Country Day. And we'll discuss, obviously we'll get into Country Day shortly. But, you know, they play them, you know, this Friday, I want to say, at Country Day. And these are all games, you know, that is coming, you know, these are tournament games before, right before the tournament. So, you know, Coach Wells did a great job at scheduling. Coach Wells and Coach Stein did a great job at scheduling these games and putting them in the, like, the right time.
Yes, sir. Sir, always going down the stretch, man. You don't want to be like an SEC football team and schedule, you know, Furman College. Like, you don't want to schedule, you know, a team that's not really going to make you better when you need to be hitting that stride. And that's why I think Arbor Prep, you know, another year of experience. You know, you really got Adrienne Anderson playing out of her mind from, you know, what I'm reading and what I've seen this season. And you still have Nostalgia Chambers. You have Rosanne Wells coming of age. You know, if you've seen our Last Second Shot mixtape, you saw her a few clips in there. Hey, man, it's going to be a show. It's going to be one of the greatest shows on the court this year when they get into that tournament. And honestly, just looking at the brackets, I'm hyped for their journey. I think it's a lot of winnable games there. I think they have some tougher games down the stretch, just from my bracketology. But I'm really hyped for it.
They have a interesting route, and it's going to be fun to see, you know, this team make that journey. I mean, make that trip, the return trip to the Breslin. I mean, they were there last year, you know, and you know, I think it's safe to say that they'll be back this year. You know, and just to see their journey from along the way to that point, you know, it'll be one of the more entertaining, you know, storylines or journeys in this year's tournament, and them still being fairly new. I mean, this is only what, their fourth or fifth year in existence.
Yes, sir.
What a way to start.
I mean, and you know, I just hate that we missed that, or our audio with Coach Wells the first time we weren't able to get that to you all who listen to our show every week. But man, like, we asked Coach Wells about that when we talked with him the first time. He, you know, he told us, like, look, you know, that winning culture and being able to start that's something special to them. But anytime you can start a winning culture, that's just amazing. That's amazing. Shout out to him. Shout out to all the girls who's making it possible. Because there's a lot of new schools that start off and they're just bad. There's a lot of them. So, you know, it just wasn't guaranteed that they were going to start this new school and go right to work.
Yeah, it wasn't guaranteed. And, you know, like you said, to start out this way is phenomenal. I mean, immediately, I mean, I know the first year they couldn't play in the tournament because they were a new school and everything, but they still had a good record and still, you know, scheduled the top teams in the state and played all of them pretty well. You're just seeing the culmination of everything, and now I think this is the year that they cap everything off with a title. You know, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit here, you know, because we just said that our postseason preview show is in a couple of weeks, but I'm gonna make this pick right now, and they're my pick for the Class C title.
Damn. How are you going to say I'm probably jumping the gun and then jump the gun on a show that we have planned out. Like, you didn't say, I'm probably jumping the gun and said, like, a little hint or anything. Like, you just was like, yeah, I'm probably jumping the gun here. There my tune in to the preview show to see who my pick is for Class C. Man. And I started to drop a bomb to interrupt you.
I mean, the way that, you know, my vocabulary was set up, you know, I used the probably to, I don't know. I really just jumped the gun for real.
You used probably in the place of definitely.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
I was hoping you'd let me get away with that, but, you know.
Okay. Anyway, so it's so interesting that we were talking about the new dynamics. Now, we did make preseason picks, or even so, me and you have talked about the four teams that we think will be in the Class B finals at the Breslin, which we're not going to jump the gun on this one. I can't tell you that all of them have losses, all of them. You know, so obviously you all know that, you know, just inferring, you all know that Bay City John Glenn is one of those teams that took a loss that we planned to be there. But, man, how about Class B? Just when you think there's going to be a team to run away with it, to buckle down and say, hey, no more. You know, you know, somebody steps up and beats them. So, I mean, more so, I know that Class A is going to be good. I told y'all since day one who my pick was. Color me biased if you want to. I think it's, you know, even if I didn't graduate from Lathrop, I still think that's the smart pick. You know, whatever, three losses, go ahead and run away with it. Do whatever you will. But with Class B, this is the most competitive class in the state. And I can say that with a doubt. I can say that, not stutter, not think twice about it. There's not another, like, Class A is not as competitive as Class B. Class C, Eric went ahead and picked Arbor Prep to run away with it. Did I tune into our
preview
show?
Hey, not run away.
You'll find out.
Don't make the people think they just gonna, you know, it's gonna be interesting. Like, don't make it seem like,
okay,
like, hey, they just gonna run away with this thing. It's gonna be interesting.
The way you said it, just listen to the show again tonight, and you'll see what I'm talking about. but, you know, like, so, you know, Class D, that's more interesting to me as well. Definitely going to be hard fought since St. Ignace is back up in Class D. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if I have any wrestling fans who watch the show, in the WWE, anytime Rey Mysterio wanted to win the Cruiserweight Championship, he would just come back down to, you know, just come in and compete for it and win. And so eventually they had to do away with the championship. That's what I compare St. Ignace to, you know. But obviously I think they're going to have, you know, a good tournament, and maybe, possibly, I don't know, maybe they can, maybe, I don't, ooh, never mind. Man, but you know, like.
You would go through all that for that. You would.
It was supposed, you know, it's messing up tonight. It was supposed to come in the middle of me talking, but whatever. So, you know, I think that, you know, just being, you know, just being open about it and really just, like, really thinking about all the teams in Class B, you have Grand Rapids Christian, you have Grand Rapids Catholic Central, you have Bay City John Glenn, you have Williamston, you have country, the Detroit Country Day, the defending champions, you know, you have, it seems about like most of the teams I'm going to name is some type of Grand Rapids Christian or Catholic school, Grand Rapids South Christian. Who else? Caledonia, they're Class
A.
They're Class A. Never mind.
How many schools does Grand Rapids have, man?
Grand Rapids has a lot of schools, and a lot of them are private. Like, that's what I'm noticing. Like, I was looking at the Class B bracket, and there's so many private, you know, religious schools, which I think is great, you know, for the kids, you know, and, you know, whatever, you know, with the values and everything like that. But, yikes. Like, I feel like it's like it's just like downriver and River Ridge. Like, on every corner, literally in every corner, there's a church. I feel like that's how it is with these Catholic and Christian schools in Grand Rapids Catholic Central. But salute to them, man. Salute to them. A lot of their teams are getting it done this year.
Yeah, a lot of them are getting it done. And, you know, like we said, Class B is – we already said it was interesting before. It's very interesting now. You know, it's very interesting now. And, you know, we've mentioned – nah, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, let's move on to the other big game that happened Saturday, because, you know, we're going to give too much away with this preview stuff. You know, I'm waiting. Y'all going to get this on our show in a couple weeks. Let's just move on.
You're literally the only person giving away things.
Hey, look now. That was one. That was it. Only one.
Like, this guy here, he's hideous. Man, but, so, Southfield Lathrop versus Detroit Country Day. Hard-fought game, man, by both teams, actually. Lathrop comes out on fire, opens up with, like, a 10-3 run, and then, of course, Detroit Country Day comes back to go into the half up by 8. And they would end up going up by as many as, what, 15?
I want to say 12, no. 15, something. You know,
12.
That range.
Okay, somewhere around that range. And Lathrop fights back. I mean, to the point where it's a one-possession game with 5 seconds left. And you know, Country Day ends up coming out on top. Great win for the Yellow Jackets. A hard-fought game for the Chargers. Definitely a lot to build off of. You know, Taye and Kende Bello fought through foul trouble for most of that game. I'm surprised they didn't foul out. You know, having 3 fouls in the first quarter really, you know, really played into exactly what Country Day wanted to do. And some of the younger players for Lathrop was flustered with that full court press, which, you know, that's exactly what you're supposed to do when you're in Country Day's position. Always. You see a Nemo flying around and you're a shark. You know, you know, go for it, you know, something, go for it. And that's exactly what they did. And they came out on top. I mean, big games, really, a really good game by Destiny Pitts in the winning effort, and a great game by Deja Church in the losing effort. Both put on shows in front of the college coaches that came to watch. And really, really just a classic bare-knuckle brawl, you know, as far as like the punches that each team would throw, as far as coming back and fighting until the very end.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a game. It was truly a game of runs. I mean, Lathrop started off, you know, high and fast, and you know, a quick 10-point lead, and you know, like we just said, Country Day comes back, goes up 12-15, and you know, then in the fourth quarter is a, you know, a tie ball game, you know, with, you know, just over a minute left, you know, and Destiny pitched, you know, his the clutch three to kind of, you know, to put Country Day ahead and almost seal that game up, you know. So, like you just said, you know, the two juniors, you know, Deja Church, Destiny Pitts put on the show, you know, for a minute it looked like a back-and-forth battle between the two, you know. And, you know, Destiny Pitts ended up with 23, and I think Deja Church ended up with 29. So, the juniors really took over that game. And, you know, asserted themselves and show why that they are two of the best players in the state, and you know why we always say they should be in, you know, them along with Kiera Fletcher should be in the ESPN Super 60. But you know, you got to talk to ESPN about that. We don't have any saying that, but they should be in there, and those two players show why they should be in there.
Are you saying that they are all Miss Basketball candidates?
Yes, I think. Didn't we say that on the preview show?
Oh, yeah. We've been said that.
Yeah, so.
Interesting.
You know, I think with that performance, I think with, you know, those performances by those two, it just solidified their cases even more, you know. I mean, you know, there's no question that they're candidates. You know, there's no question that they're contenders for the award. It's just,
which
that game is added on to it.
You know, I've always wondered this. I think I posed this question to you. Well, no, I brought up this point to you while we were just talking. I didn't really pose the question. And if anybody who's listening to the show knows the answer, please tweet me or text me or DM me or whatever, and let me know. I'm sure some coaches who vote listen to this show. What is the actual criteria for Ms. Mel? Is it that final season of play? Like, is that a year award for which senior had the best season? Or is it for a whole career?
Yeah, I've always tried to figure that out myself, you know. Yeah, I mean, it goes, like I said, I think we discussed this off air, and I told Darren, you know, when he asked me this, I think it was yesterday, Tanaya Davis last year's winner was a special case because she did have the best senior season out of all the seniors, and she also had the best career, so she had, you know, no matter what, she was going to win the thing anyway, and deservedly so, you know. And if y'all don't know who Tanaya is, look for the 5'4 kid, you know, wearing the black and gold Iowa jersey on the Big Ten Network. But, you know, so she deserved it. Last year, every base covered. But it's still funny to us, you know, it's still, well, I shouldn't say funny, but sort of confusing to us about what is required, or what's the, like, or to you, Darren's word, what's the criteria to win Miss Basketball? Is it, you know, have the best senior season, have the best overall 4-year career, or the combination of the two? So,
because,
like you said,
I remember,
if you know, email us, tweet us, DM us. Please, somebody.
No, I genuinely want understanding from the voters who are the coaches on how they vote, because that makes you know it harder, or it makes it easier for me to not call something a snub if I can understand what they're going by. But remember, we had Coach Jarvis Mitchell on the line, you know, director of the One Nation Girls Basketball head coach of Wayne Memorial. And he told us how he felt that Brandy AG should have probably won Miss Basketball, which at the time I actually wrote an article about that said she was snubbed. I probably got to get that deleted. Just a little bit. I mean, it wasn't harsh, but it was. Anyway. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that in 2012, Brandy AG or Ariel Powers should have been Miss Basketball. And that's one of those cases where I just kind of was, you know, confused, because if it's by career, Ariel Powers had one of the better careers of anybody ever in the state. Like, you know, she can be considered a top three or four country day player ever. And then, you know, I mean, and just thinking about that in itself, to say, you know, I'm a top three or four country day player, to think about all the killers who literally come out of country day. So if we're talking about career, obviously, by far, she would win off of that. Now, we're talking about who had that better year, just a regular season. I don't know if postseason is included either. I'm just not getting it. But we're talking about postseason. I mean, just a regular season. I, you know, again, sure, she was my football teammate in middle school, but, you know, I'm not really biased here. I'm in all honesty, in all objectiveness, I thought Brandy AG was probably Miss Basketball that year. Especially when you see who she went head-to-head with and what she did when she went head-to-head with them. And that was – no, listen, man, I just don't know. So that's why over the years I've been confused, because obviously we've had a split in how, you know, voters have looked at it, but, you know.
Yeah, and I want to hop on to a still staying on topic, of course. Another part of it, you know, I don't know if it's a smaller part or a bigger part, you know, but another thing about what's the criteria for do the voters as far, and it really, this is really pertaining to this year. You know, Antoinette Miller, Stoudemire Chambers, Gondrezic, Madrika Cook. Do the voters go by, you know, the best numbers? Is numbers a big factor? Is winning a big factor? Or is a combination of numbers and, you know, the winning? You know?
Or is competition taken into place? Which and now, if you all tell me that competition is taken into place when it comes to Miss Basketball voting, I'm a firm believer that it shouldn't be taken into account at all. I am a firm believer in, and if somebody's good enough to be nominated in a top five or three forum, you cannot take into play what the competition is.
Exactly.
One, because I'm sorry.
I was agreeing with you. I said exactly.
I mean, one, this is high school. This is high school sports. So you can't look at these awards like you would a college player of the year award, which surprisingly they give out to mid majors a lot. You know, if their numbers are right. Or you can't even look at it as a NBA MVP, which, you know, you have to look at it solely from okay, is this player getting it done? And if they are, okay. Because, you know, you can't help who you play. You can't go out there and tell your coach or AD, like, look, I know we're in Marquette, Michigan. Look, get Country Day on the schedule. Get Lather, Cousin O, Marion too. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not – you can only beat who's in front of you. And that's one of those things where, you know, you're telling me competition is taking a serious toll in these conversations when you go to vote. I'm a firm believer that isn't fair.
And to your point, you know, there's only 20 games in the season. Everybody is only allowed a maximum of 20 contests. So it's really not enough games to go even go around like that. You know, everybody can't play the schedule that a Country Day, Bay City John Glenn, Southfield Lathrop, and Ann Arbor Huron, Midland Dow will play. Everybody doesn't have that opportunity. You know, whether, you know, it's because of distance or, like I said before, you know, it's just not that many games to go around. Everybody can't play elite teams all the time or good teams all the time, for that matter. You know, some teams are only able to play, whether it's because, you know, they have so many conference games. They may play in a conference where, you know, they have to play eight other teams in that conference. You have a 16-game conference schedule. So you only allow four non-conference games. You know, so like Darren said, you can only play who's in front of you. You know, if you're playing well and your team is playing well, then who you're playing really shouldn't be a factor.
Here's a riddle for you,
Eric. This isn't the NBA where you're guaranteed to play everybody at least once or twice.
Right, and you know, it's like, well, you know, we play so many Western Conference teams or so many Eastern Conference teams, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. But here's a riddle for you, Eric. If I drop 50 on a team that's won 5 games, does 50 still get dropped?
50 still gets dropped.
Okay. 50 is 50. 50 is 50. I don't care who is against. If I drop 50, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, a 50-point game against a top team is going to be celebrated more, or a good team that's going to be celebrated more, as it should be. But if I drop 50, that's still amazing. If I go out there, I drop 30 for a high schooler, that's still amazing. That's still amazing. And if I do it in multiple games, if that's my averages, you can't tell me, like, hey, you know, you did it against some bums. Okay, where's your 40-point game? Where's your 40-point average? Everybody has those teams on their schedule that were scheduled just for confidence builders or just for warm-up games. Every team in the state, I guarantee you, even the winless teams schedule a game that's like, man, we can maybe win this one. If we don't win one, we can maybe win this one. And then, obviously, the better teams have those games where it's like, well, yeah, this is going to be a good little warm-up. It happens.
It happens all the time. And, you know, that player, whoever, you know, she may be, you know, shouldn't get penalized for that because they didn't make the schedule. You know, the Stars of Chambers ain't make Auburn Prep schedule. Gondrezic didn't make Ben Harbor schedule. Antoinette Miller didn't make Southfield Lathrop schedule. You know,
he don't got that.
Madriga Cook didn't schedule all the Muskegon games. So, what would you say?
You telling me Miller don't got that type of pool? She can't make that call to the AD.
nah, she don't.
I, just playing everybody. She doesn't like God. God, I repeat, before, you know, before the girls basketball world in Michigan goes crazy, I am joking. No player has that type of power or privilege. I hope, from what I know.
Hey, the guy from Don't Be a Menace to South Central, I drink your juice in the hood, these is jokes.
Like, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want another misquoting by those folk, you know, who made the mistake the first time. So we'll just leave it at that.
Misquoting? When was this situation? I don't remember this.
Okay. So there was a situation where a conglomerate that I'm not going to name them because we're not, you know, here to do that. But from my understanding, they posted something in their article about a team that we're not going to name having eligibility issues. And in fact, that team was averaging a 3.9 or so GPA with their students. That writer had to eat some crow and had to take it out of his article. You know, I don't know who misinformed them. I don't want to be the source of misinformation.
Hey, you can go and say, you can go ahead and say it was, nah, I ain't going to do it.
I think I handled this politically correct enough, and we'll go back to our topic. Jesus. But no, really, you know, and you know, another factor that goes into this is post players don't get the same love for the Miss Basketball Award.
Ooh. Interesting point.
I think I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this, but I think Miss Basketball, since its existence, has really been primarily a guard-dominated award. Would you say that?
I don't have the list in front of me, but
I wouldn't
be surprised if it was.
I don't have the list, but, I mean, just off of recent memory, man, I can't really think about too many post players that's won the award.
Now I pose this question. Do you think post players should get more consideration for the award?
I think any player who could be considered in the top tier of their state should be considered for a Player of the Year award or whatever it might be. So, yes, I do. Obviously, the game is more guard-driven. Okay, we get that. There's been some good post players to come through, some dominant post players to come through that did not win the award. I mean, when's the last time do you remember a post player winning? I mean, I guess Letsy Gussert.
Was she really a post, though? She was more of a wing.
She just was tall and forced into the post role. But, you know, she's really a forward.
Unless I'm missing, like, and people out there, correct me if I'm wrong. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But the last time, well, I should say this. When it comes to post players winning the award, the first one that comes to my mind is Alyssa Dahan back in 2005. at 6'9".
Yes.
Now.
Yes, that's for me as well. Okay.
Well,
Actually,
hold on. 2011, Jasmine Hines won it.
She did.
Jasmine Hines.
Ironically enough, both of those players went to play basketball at Michigan State.
Yes.
So I mean overall though, I mean just off of the top of my head, Tanaya Davis wins it. The year before, Lacey Gusser, who's really more of a forward, wins it. Tori Jankowska wins it. Madison Rostovsky. You said Jasmine Hines. Who is the woman from East Lansing who won it in 2009? She ended up going to Michigan State. Clarissa Bell wins it before then. Long story short, and the real moral of this story is that, you know, I mean, players are not really getting that type of recognition for playing in the post. And if we're going to be honest about this and really make this award or keep this award as a respectable award, we need to go ahead and start really considering post players who get it done. Which, I mean, to be fair, there's been some good post players. There hasn't been many just generational talents in the post. Not in high school. Like, we had a few people who bloomed. In the late stages or in their college careers. So that poses a question. Who are your top post players that we've seen in the last? You know what? I think when we talked about this in the pre-show meeting, you said the last 10 years. Let's just go ahead and say since 2000.
Ooh. You putting that type of pressure on me, dog? 2000?
Yeah.
2000, you making the boy go back to when he was a young boy.
A young boy. Alright.
Okay,
so,
we're gonna alternate. You go first.
Alright, so I'll start it off. And Eric kinda, you know, jumped the gun again, Nasley, but he did foreshadow this pick, and I would, you know, be remiss if I didn't mention her first. Alyssa DeHaan, 6'9" post player, turned down Geno. That's Geno Auriemma. Turned him down for Susie Merchant, and I want to say that was Susie Merchant's first or second year at Michigan State. Just all around dominant, in her time at Granville. And wasn't afraid to shoot that mid-range jumper either. Like, she was dominant in the post because she was taller than most people. But, you know, if she wanted to shoot that mid-range, she could. And it was really easy.
Yeah, she was a great player and, you know, just dominant. I mean, I get it, she was 6'9", but still, she was 6'9" and skilled. It wasn't just 6'9", just to be 6'9". You know,
yeah.
Very dominant post player. I'm going to go with Madison Williams from the Detroit Country Day. She was, well, not, I mean, she's 6'7" now, but in high school she was, what, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. McDonald All-American. You kind of have to put her in there because You know, she's one of the few players from Michigan to make the McDonald's All-American game. Just an overall great player, great shot blocker, good on the offensive end, great on the offensive end, I should say. You know, Darren talks aerial powers as a top three or four player in Country Day's history, which I totally agree. I think Madison's in that five discussion as well. And if you don't disagree, she should at least be considered for that.
She's definitely in the discussion. It's just so many players I can't say definitively who's really there. I know who's number one. That's all.
Oh yeah, I think everybody knows number one, but that's a different story for a different day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Madison Williams, you know, flashback to the 2010 class.
Oof. Brought it forward a little. Man, I really love my throwbacks, man. To be honest with you, so I'm gonna keep it in the city of Detroit. At Martin Luther King. I'm going with Lish Brown. Man. Like, she was really one of my she was really one of my childhood crushes, but that's really a different story. But more so, I feel like she was one of the people who really was able to break that barrier of, you know, in high school of, you know, centers should only do one thing. You know, she would grab the ball off of the rim and go for a fast break. So, you know, I feel like she was really ahead of her time and her skill set. And she was a killer. She was a real-life killer. She played on the Michigan Crusaders when that AAU team was popping. She played with the Michigan Crusaders for a while. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to keep it current, you know, because Darren always goes throwback. I'm going to keep it current. I'm going to go with Asia Roberson from Kalamazoo Central. She graduated in 2014. 6'4", super athletic. She's one of the more dominant players in recent memory. Went on to play at Auburn. I mean, really, you know, and she could hit the jumper. You know, she was pretty streaky at shooting the jumper. You know, not to say she was just a shooter like that, but she could step out. You know, if need be. And, man, the shot blocking and the rebounding, I mean, she was just ferocious with it. So I go, you know, five in the last 10 years, Asia Roberson.
Ooh. Okay. And just staying true to form. And this is hard. I'm going to say it because she was really a post player. She even played post in college, but she was more so of a hybrid. I guess some people could call her a stretch four if they wanted to, but she got a lot of work done from you know, the free throw line. And so at the Detroit Cass Technical High School in the city of Detroit, shout out to them, Shantae Bowman, one of the better players that we've had in the state. I want to say she graduated in like 05 or so. And she was really, really good. You know, like I said, got it done in the post She was really comfortable operating on the perimeter. But if you looked at her at Kentucky, man, just was really a force there, you know, before graduating. She was really good at Cass. And those were some of the more memorable King versus Cass matchups. You know, not to get too far off topic, but that's when you had Stephanie Douglas and Lish going against Shantae Bowman and the Say Hello for a few years.
Okay. That was a good one. I'm gonna take it back to that early 2000 era. From Maple City. Shout out to Maple City. I don't think we've ever mentioned Maple City on this show. From Glen Lake High School out of Maple City. Liz Shemek, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, any Maple City people, if you also happen to listen to the show, or any historians of the girls' basketball in Michigan, please correct me if I'm wrong on the pronunciation of her name. But Liz Shemek from Glen Lake High School, talk about post players being Miss Basketball. She was Miss Basketball in 2001 and went on to play at Michigan State. Seems to be a recurring theme.
Yes.
But she was a pro, and you know, got drafted in 2006 by the Phoenix Mercury, was a top 20 pick. So anytime you have a pro, you know, she's playing. She and went also played overseas. You know, like many female athletes do. Anytime you have a pro, especially when I went to the, you know, the WNBA, you gotta mention her. You gotta, you know, put her in that conversation. You know, in the, you know, best post players since 2000. You know, or best post players period. You know, she's a pro. You know, not saying
all right.
and being literal with that saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, okay. So I'm gonna do one more throwback, and then I'm gonna give y'all a current one. I promise it's my last throwback one. Katrina Mason from the now closed Detroit Murray Wright. I think she went all state. She went all state in 2001. And this is, and man, when I tell you, I really got to see the PSL in their glory days. Yeah, Katrina Mason, she was just a force down there. Wasn't scared to go at anybody, really. Did everything well. I forgot where she ended up going to college at. You gotta forgive me, I was still young. But yeah, at the Detroit Murray Wright, she was really a force to be working with.
Oh, taking it back to the you know, PSL gold age one time. I see you,
man.
Bro. I see you. We went to an Oakland County school, right?
Yes, we did.
So, you know, we've seen a lot of Oakland County action. So I'm gonna go to Clarkston, dog. Go to Clarkston, dog. Erica Davenport, man. I mean, you know, certainly one of the most dominant players, you know, in the last 5 years. Heck, maybe the last, and maybe within the last 10 years, you know, as well. She was just so physically dominant. I mean, is playing basketball at Marquette right now. She was just, I mean, what more can I say? I mean, she was just physically dominant. The number speaks for itself. I mean, back-to-back years of over 22 points and 15 rebounds. Her junior, senior season, I mean, in her sophomore year wasn't too shabby. I mean, averaging 18 and 13. So she was just, like I said, just, I think I'll say it perfectly, just physically just dominant.
That was low key my pull ahead or current one. I didn't think you were gonna go there. No, but really, you know, obviously, all of these players are really, really good. And I think, you know, just it's crazy because, like, we can name, you know, I think we named, what, five or six, each one of us, and all different players. But you can name so many good players who played in the post. And a lot of these girls were not considered for Miss Basketball. You know, long story short, they were looked over. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. And like you said, you know, like we established, it's, you know, more of a guard-dominated award. I mean, it's a guard-dominated game, you know, especially in, you know, I would probably say in today's era, especially. But still, there are a lot of good bigs. You know, and can't lead a, you know, you can't lead a, you know, you can't leave them out. Can't leave them out, you know, especially, you know, like I said, we don't, you know, we don't, somebody, you know, tweet us, DM us, email us the criteria for Miss Basketball, but, you know, whether they're, you know, winning and they're putting up the numbers and getting it done for their teams, they should be considered and could be considered, you know, more than they've been, you know.
I don't. I mean, there's always gonna be, like, and here's where my understanding, you know, I put on my understanding hat and say, hey, okay, I get it. There's always gonna be a group of people who are not happy with the way that Miss Basketball is turning out or is voted for. I've been a part of that crowd. You know, long story short, I just think there needs to be more, something more clear, you feel me? So that everybody can understand that, okay, this is what they're looking at. Now, there's, like I said, there's always going to be families and parents and supporters, teammates who say, oh, nah, old girl didn't deserve it, you know? And you're supposed to support your teammate. I get it. You know, whatever. I swore, and this is going to be funny to a lot of people. I told a lot of people, like, look, Devin Mabber deserves to win Mr. Basketball over Keith Appling. Devin Mabber was, you know, we went to high school together, you know, played it. Play basketball, you know, a lot. So, you know what I'm saying? I even went as far as to say, hey, Amir Williams probably deserves to be more so in this conversation in 2010. Well, really, that was 2011. But I forgot who won it that year. But, you know, there's always going to be crowds that aren't really going to be happy. I get it. But at least if this is the five, oh, you know.
I mean, like you said, everybody's going to feel how they feel, you know, whether this person deserved it or not. I mean, you know, obviously if they won, you know, they probably, you know, deserved it for, you know, some reason. I mean, they wouldn't even be considered if they weren't deserving to win it. But, you know, one thing, you know what, let me not even swing that way to where I was going. I'm going to make a detour and say, like I said before, when we were discussing Gondrezic and, you know, Darren all but guaranteed that she was going to win it, or in his opinion, you know, she has won it already. I said on that show that I just hope people, you know, they vote for somebody outside of Gondrezic, outside of Cook, that they don't vote, you know, for somebody else just because, you know, they don't want to vote for those two kids. You know, if you're going to vote for Antoinette Miller, if you're going to vote for Nastassja Chambers, if you're going to vote for Jaleesha Terry, vote for them because you actually think they deserve it. Don't vote for them just because, oh, I don't want to vote for Madrika Cook. I don't want to vote for Kylie Andrezza. For whatever the reason that you don't want to vote for them. No, vote for those kids and vice versa. Don't vote for Gondrezek and Cook just because you don't want to vote for Terry, Chambers, or Miller, or Sia Fraser. You know, vote for those kids because you actually want them to win. Don't vote for them just because I'll vote for, just say, oh, I'll vote for anybody but her. You know, it is. And
that's whack. And if we went on, I have some different words. But that's whack. And if you're doing that type of stuff, you don't deserve a vote. You just don't.
You really don't. And on top of that, it not only does it slight the kid that you're not voting for, slice the kid that you're voting for, because, you know, the vote is not sincere. You know, now that kid may never know it, or probably won't even care. But still, you know, your moral compass is
wrong. I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't care at all. But still, it's sliding kids, and it's just not fair, man. People work hard. You know, people put in long hours in the gym and do all types of things to get, you know what I'm saying, to get to that stage where they can be on the stage to accept a Miss Basketball trophy or a Player of the Year trophy. Don't slight them because of some personal issues or, you know, personal beliefs. It's whack. I can't, you know what I'm saying, that's the best way I can say it. It's just bad.
it's whack. You know, and going by the tone of Darren's voice, he has some other words to say about that. But, you know, we don't, you know, he doesn't want to get fired. You know, we don't want to get canceled.
Don't fire me. Cancel us. We'll go to, wait. We made the announcement, but we ain't signed the contract yet, so I won't speak too soon.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, chill. I'll chill. I love you, Blog Talk.
But, you know, like we've been saying, like, don't, you know, vote because of some personal issues or, you know, or just for pure, just hating on a kid. You know, these are kids. You know, don't let it be the high school version of, you know, the T.O. situation. You know.
Oh.
You know, don't, you know, don't let it be the high school version of that. You know, if you don't vote for these kids, vote for them sincerely.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. I'm not going to get on my soapbox about Terrell Owens, who I really do believe is probably the second or third best receiver ever to play in the NFL. But that's a totally different conversation. If you don't believe so, tweet me. I'll tell you about it. That's sports spoken real. But listen, we have to get to a point where we can't try to police how people express themselves, how people carry themselves, how, you know, perception. We have to get over perception and only evaluate and award or, you know, not award based on what we see on the court, okay? You know, People say things to me, people say out of the way things to me all the time. Like, believe it or not, as nice as I am, people say out of the way things to me all the time. I don't let that get in the way of how I report things. No. You know, like, that's not conducive to creating a good culture within the girls' basketball circuit in Michigan. You know, because if us as coaches are going to get mad and take things personal and splurge on our vote and say, oh, well, I don't like them, so I'm taking this vote over here. You don't really care about the kids. You know, don't even tell the lie. Don't even tell the lie that this is for the kids. It can't be.
No, it can't be. And that's just, you know, if me or Darren moved like that, you know, letting personal issue, I mean, we don't have any issues with anybody at this point, so let's not get that confused. We don't have any issues with anybody, but, you know, if we did have some issues with people, we wouldn't let that affect. Whether it be, you know, let's say if it was a parent, we have a personal issue with a parent, we wouldn't let it affect how we cover their kid, because at the end of the day, this is what the kids was all about. You know, it's not about me or Darren. It's not about, you know, the Free Press or MLive or whoever. You know, it's not about none of us. It's not about the parents or the coaches. It's about the kids. And, you know, if you're letting personal issues with another coach or the kid's parent, or heck,
personal
if you have a problem with the kid themselves,
personal issues or perception.
That shouldn't affect how you move.
Yeah, I mean sometimes these people, you know, or. You know, a lot of people don't even have problems with the person themselves. They just hear things. Say, oh, man, I don't like them. I've heard this story a million times. and so then, in a result, everybody who's associated with them, you don't like. So you're not going to vote for them. You know what? That's sad.
That's very sad. That's very sad. And, you know, Darren always says, you know, stuff like this, you know, do some soul searching. I'm going to say this. Man, reevaluate your life if that's how you move. If that's how you move, just reevaluate your whole life. Seriously. You know, if you're, you know, letting personal issues slight, you know, getting away and of what you're supposed to do, or I ain't what you're supposed to do, but if you're just letting personal issues affect you to the point where you take it out on a kid, since we're talking about Miss Basketball, which is, you know, award that goes to seniors, talking about 17, maybe 18 year old kids.
Maybe 18.
Like, these kids aren't even legal adults yet. So, as an adult, you should be above that. Because adults are the ones who go on this award.
Man.
So,
Did we just preach to these folks? Do I got to open up the doors of the church? Somebody need to come down the aisle?
Nah, we ain't going to go that far.
is there one? Oh, man, is there one? But no, really, man. somebody coming down the aisle with their crying, coming to Jesus cry on right now. Man, all right, let me chill. But man, hey, really, we've been getting a lot of traffic on the Last Second Shot mixtape. Really excited about that. Everybody, I think I mentioned this before, and I'm almost positive I mentioned this right after we drop the mid-season mixtape. Look, if y'all need a personal mixtape done, a team mixtape done, or you want to be a part of our end-of-the-season mixtape, send us your clips, let us know. Like, I'm humble enough to admit that I don't know every team in the state. I don't know every player in the state. I'm pretty sure right now there's somebody really good that I have not seen. So, you know, just kindly send me an email or DM with links or footage. RockTheCourtPodcast@gmail.com is our email. We still ain't created a Last Second Shot podcast. We'll do that eventually. Email. But RockTheCourtPodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, Sports Spoken Real. Eric's Twitter is Quiet_Storm30. Send us your links. Listen, man, even if you already got a little huddle mix, send that to us so we can tweet it out and show y'all love. You feel me? Nothing bad can happen by putting yourself out there. Nothing bad can happen. And all we want to do is, you know, showcase your talent. So if you got some raw film just sitting around and you want a little highlight tape made, you know, it's really going at a price that everybody, did I say everybody? Everybody can afford. So, like I said, if you got team footage that, you know, coaches, parents, players, if y'all got team footage and y'all want a team tape made, y'all can go ahead and send it to us. We'll make that, because we're flooding. I'm telling you, we're going to flood the streets with mixtapes, team and individual player mixtapes. So don't get left off the arc. Don't be them animals that we don't know about that got left off the arc.
Really? So you're just going to continue with this first thing, huh?
I really didn't mean to go that route. Like, that's ironic. But you know what I'm saying? For real, you know what I'm saying? The flood is coming. So
it is. You know, that's a true statement. It is.
So, you know what I'm saying? Make sure you're a part of it. Like I said, we already had a parent contact us about a team mixtape. How do they team mixtapes? It might be three individual mixtapes. Oh, it was Maryland? Oh, no, we had two parents contact us. But hey, don't give away our secrets. They just got to see the floor.
I was just thinking about Midland. I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I was just out in the city. They got a big, you know, it's a big game going down to Midland on Friday. But you know, we'll talk about that later.
For sure. For sure. But man,
hey, we wind it down, man.
We about to get into these last second shots. Eric, what's your last second shots this week?
My last second shot.
Before Eric get into his last second shot, I think everybody who's listening needs to give Eric a round of applause. This man is a legend. I'm gonna leave it at that. Okay. Eric is really like a basketball legend. And if y'all want to know why he's a legend, tweet him, DM him, text him, email him, Facebook him, Crush Bot, Farmers Only, Black Planet, all of that.
Hey, don't tell these people I got a Farmers Only account.
We have too many laughs on this podcast, man.
I don't even own no hay, bro. Don't tell people about this farmers only stuff, bro.
Black people's meet them, Christian mingles, all of that. Ask them why he's a legend.
Hey, yo, chill.
I believe he said his I believe he said his Christian Mingles username was Jesus was a carpenter and a point guard. 33.
Oh my god. Bro, can I get my cell phone back? Cause you over here talking.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, man.
Oh, now my last second shot. One. I got three of them. One. Let me put it in a way that be simple. Anytime you try to play somebody, you end up playing yourself. And this is I'm saying this to a specific person. They know who I'm talking about. You know, play somebody, you end up playing yourself. Darren knows what I'm talking about. He knows why I said that. Two. Shout out to Amanda Sait. You know, I hope you know you're getting healthy. You know, after the whole concussion that happened a few days back. I hope you come back. You know, soon. You know, to help your team in the tournament. I mean, you know, I noticed all the hard work that you put in over the summer and, you know, preseason and, you know, everything is paying off for you now. So, you know, shout out to Amanda Sait. I hope you come, you know, come back soon enough to help, you know, to keep your career going and, you know, everything. So I hope the injury wasn't too serious. And my last shot, speaking of legends, right? Darren is an East Lansing legend. Like, y'all really don't know this. Like, if y'all go to East Lansing, ask about Darren Clore. Just ask about Darren Clore out there. Ask about Darren
Clore. Hey, chill. Hey, but for real, last second shots, man. Shout out to everybody, man, who made the Last Second Shot podcast possible. We gonna be back next week. Love y'all. Hey, you played yourself. Congratulations.